I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News Nick Everett. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Michael. Pleased to meet you.
And welcome to the West End of Fremantle, where we've been talking to candidates, and you're running for a councillor's position in the East Ward of the City of Fremantle. Congratulations.
Thank you, Michael.
Now, a lot of candidates have said, what are you going to ask me? And I said, well, I'm basically going to ask you, and I'll ask you, why are you running, Nick?
Well, I've resided in Hilton for about 10 years now, and it's a community I really love and a community I'm committed to, and I plan to keep living there. I work in Fremantle. I'm a public sector worker. I'm a union delegate in my workplace role, and I'm also a founding member of the WA Socialists. And through this campaign, we're hoping to offer some socialist solutions to the challenges that the community faces. And in Hilton, what I'm seeing and hearing from residents is a great deal of concern about the cost of living crisis, and particularly about the cost of housing. And while that doesn't affect all of our residents, it affects them perhaps indirectly in terms of their children, a whole generation who have grown up in Hilton, who are really struggling with rents and with the cost of living generally.
That's interesting. Just as an aside, it looks like WA Socialists are having a bit of a revival or socialism as a topic of political discussion. Cost of living, though, how does that translate into things that the council can do if you're elected?
Yes, well, I'm keen to take up the issue of housing as one of the issues in the campaign. There's a number of things that the City of Fremantle can do. I think, firstly, it needs to really defend the interests of the community in regard to development approvals, which have increasingly become taken over, if you like, by the state government. So it needs to be advocates for residents in terms of development. We've seen a planning policy, I think, in Fremantle that has favoured increasingly short stay accommodation, luxury accommodation, and I'd like to see more public housing. So I think that's something that the council can advocate for. We also see a lot of empty properties across Fremantle and empty land, so it does fit within the council's remit to charge higher rates for investors who sit on empty property or empty land to give them an incentive basically to take in tenants or to sell up so that people can move in and develop the land or reside in those properties. I just wanted to cite one example, though, of development policy. If we look at Davis Park, which is in my ward in the east end of Beaconsfield, we've got a new development project underway called Lefroy. There are plans for up to 700 dwellings there. There are 435 in the planning stages. Only 30 of those are designated as public housing. And while the state government says it's got a round figure target of 20% being affordable, I think it's a missed opportunity for the City of Fremantle to be advocating more strongly for a much larger portion of affordable and public housing that provides opportunities for particularly for young families who'd like to live here but just simply can't afford to do so.
At a very personal level, Nick, have you run for council or elected office before? Well, you've mentioned you're a union delegate. You may have had to do that.
I have run for elected office as a union delegate. This is my first time running for any level of government, though I've participated in election campaigns as a campaigner in the past. I guess I'm a key fan of the slogan "Think Global, Act Local." So the campaigns and issues that I've been most involved with have concerned peace and justice issues like Israel's genocide in Gaza, about the issue of AUKUS nuclear submarines, nuclear bases, etc., US bases in Australia. But these are issues that I don't view as separate to the field of local government. I think
I wanted to ask you that because Shipping News loves to share views from all parts. And Barry Healy, who's an avowed Marxist, writes a column on the Shipping News called Seeing Red. Nice title. And he said this election in Fremantle ought to be all about AUKUS. I'm gathering you mightn't disagree with him.
I wouldn't say that the election's all about AUKUS, but I think it definitely should be on the radar for the city of Fremantle and for the neighbouring shires as well. As a teenager, the first protest I ever went to actually was a peace rally here in Fremantle. We marched down to the wharf where the then Senator Joe Valentine locked herself on to a US ship that was visiting. And at the time, Fremantle was very vocal. This was the beginning of their nuclear-free policy. If we fast forward to today, if the AUKUS plans go ahead, and we've seen it announced just on the weekend an extra $12 billion to basically set up the facilities at Henderson whereby nuclear power submarines could be maintained. And if that's to occur, we're highly likely to see nuclear waste shipped through our suburbs, which is clearly in contradiction with our nuclear-free policy. We're likely to see nuclear-powered and more nuclear-armed vessels come through the outer harbour and into Cockburn Sound. So all of these should be of utmost concern to the city of Fremantle. And I think the city of Fremantle just needs to take a more public role. It did pass a resolution a few weeks ago now calling for a community meeting to be held. What we're seeing instead is this Thursday a Defence Department forum, which really seems to be about selling AUKUS and is really not giving residents an opportunity to say what they think about the whole proposal.
Well, as a secretary, it'd be a bit hard for the Australian Submarine Agency not to answer questions on Thursday night, but Fremantle Shipping News will be there observing and reporting, Nick, and I imagine you and many others will be there packing the place out as well. Apart from those issues, which are all quite important, what other sort of key issues are on your platform? You've probably been knocking on doors in the East Ward and people come to the door and you introduce yourself. And some of them, I imagine, hop straight into it and say, so what are you going to do for me? What are your main issues for the East Ward?
Well, I ask residents about what their concerns are in the community, and I'm learning from them. I'm keen to hear all of their concerns. I think one of the challenges that we face in the East Ward, or in my suburb in Hilton, more specifically, is we've seen a lot of subdivision over the years, a growing population, and fairly limited green space. Of course, we have Sampson Park, and over in the central, or is it the North Ward, there is Boyambara Park, but in Hilton itself, less green reserves and space. So the greening, growing of the tree canopy is an issue for people, maintaining their natural environments. I've talked a bit about the cost of living, and one of the issues I've raised with residents is their concern about the port move.
I wanted to ask you about the port move. So where do you stand? There's some people who want it to stay, in a sense, as the working port it is now, forever, and not go to Westport.
I mean, it's my view and that of WA Socialists that we should retain Fremantle as a working port. The current Westport proposal would move container shipping while leaving the arrival of vehicles off cargo ships and livestock there. And I think this would be a tragedy on a number of levels. I mean, firstly, the construction of a new port down at Kwinana is going to cost the taxpayer something in the order of $7 billion for the construction works, not counting the additional expenditure that would be required for road and rail infrastructure. I think that's potentially devastating for the environment in Cockburn Sound. But in terms of Fremantle itself, it would mean the loss of jobs on the port, not just dock workers, wharfies, but downstream jobs. It's estimated that 4,000 workers could be impacted by the port move. And I think that the state government's really failed to put their case. They've been arguing essentially that Fremantle's not sustainable based on figures, predictions made 7 years ago about increased container volume that just simply hasn't materialised. The current containers that come through the port, only one in five arrive or leave by rail, and a a similar number actually arrive or leave empty. So there's a whole lot more that we could do to build the rail infrastructure to move freight from road to rail. This would reduce greenhouse gas emissions. It would make our roads less congested and safer. So for all of those reasons, I'm for keeping the port in Fremantle for as long as possible.
You get the impression, as with AUKUS, that governments with the power to make the decisions in these areas, in this case the port and the state government, which had had the Westport inquiry and it's laid before them, that they seem to be in the process of implementing it, and in that sense nothing's going to stop them. And with AUKUS, state and federal government, as you intimated, made announcements yesterday for a $12 billion expenditure. In $25 billion over a number of years. How can the City of Fremantle stop the staying with the port, the state government, from seemingly going ahead, full belt?
Well, it seems to me that the City of Fremantle hasn't really run a serious community campaign to keep the port, nor to stop AUKUS. So that's the kind of activity that I would advocate for. In terms of the port, I think there's a whole lot more discussion needed about it. The West Australian government is talking about growing Fremantle's population by making available Port Authority land for housing and infrastructure development. Looking at the geography of it, though, I can't see how it would require a quite radical transformation to accommodate tens of thousands of people in that land and have them travel in. There's one kind of road in and out of North Mull at the moment.
That is the challenge for the future of Fremantle development area, about which, again, the Fremantle Shipping News has been involved and had public meetings here in the old Customs House, and we've written about. As you say, though, they'd be doubling it, probably at least the current ratepayer base, through a great, more dense development between Leighton and the port. So it's very likely, I suppose, if it does go ahead, that you get those extra people, which I suppose, from Fremantle's point of view, has always been an ambition, to have a greater rate base so they can spend it on other useful things.
Look, I'm absolutely for growing Fremantle's population. I don't think that we need to sell Port Authority land to do that. I think there are other ways of growing the population. In Hilton to date, I mean, population growth's been achieved largely through subdivision, but we need to build up, and we do need new townhouses and apartments that allow higher population density. But we need those to be affordable, as I've stressed before. I think that's the key message that I would give the state government. And my concern about the development of the Port Authority land is that it's highly valuable waterfront land, which investors and property speculators will be looking at to turn a dollar. And we really need the City of Fremantle in the driving seat, advocating for affordable housing and for a planning policy that doesn't turn the port into a tourist playground or a developer's playground.
One of the big issues for a lot of people, not just candidates at this local government election, is the question of homelessness, sort of going beyond affordable housing and the like. But and there's this sort of tiny houses push. Do you have a sort of a policy view about that?
Yeah, Ben Lover's raised that as part of his campaign. I think we've got a number of challenges. We've got a variety of services to assist homeless people. But I think the City of Fremantle needs to step in and play a more active role in that service delivery. I think tiny houses are certainly one option as a transition to housing, but the biggest barrier, as I've said, is a lack of affordable housing, and addressing that through policies of both more public housing within housing developments and looking at the empty houses and properties that already exist. So, whether it's accommodating people on short stay arrangements through in buildings that can be repurposed that are in the Shire's domain that are vacant, or working with the state government to provide new purpose-built housing that can assist. I think those are the steps that we need.
Well, we're getting towards the end of our podcast discussion here, Nick. At a very personal level, are you ready for long, sometimes interminable council meetings? If elected, maybe even if not, you can go and sit in the gallery.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is not really new terrain from me. I mentioned before I'm a union delegate. I'm also the Secretary of Friends of Palestine, Western Australia, and we've been working tirelessly over a couple of years, which has meant many late nights for me, looking at questions of policy, questions of writing media statements, of getting stuck into the issues. And I see this as a fantastic opportunity to be more engaged with my community, listening to the needs of the community, and finding a pathway that can keep Freo on the map as the wonderful community that it is.
Nick Everett, candidate for the East Ward, thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you, Michael. It was a pleasure.